Hey everybody, welcome to Cincinnati Real Producers Podcast, powered by Next Door Photos. I'm Patrick Braddock, owner and publisher of Cincinnati Real Producers.
And I'm Daniel Ziegler, owner of Next Door Photos. Every week, we're getting to know Cincinnati's top realtors.
Our goal is to elevate and inspire the real estate community throughout Greater Cincinnati.
Well, today we have Mari Hornsby with the Cornerstone Home Group, brokered by eXp Realty. Mari is in her fourth year selling real estate, and in her first 3 years, she has sold over $15 million. In 2023 alone, her volume was over $5 million. Mari has been honored to be a part of the 2023 Realtor Alliance of Greater Cincinnati Leadership Academy, the 2024 Ohio Realtors Leadership Academy, and she received the Circle of Excellence Team Award. She was also recognized by Real Producers as a Realtor on the Rise. Welcome to the show, Mari Hornsby.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for being a part of this. So we had your article not too long ago. We're kind of piggybacking off of that, trying to help build some more momentum in the beginning of the year with this market shifting the way it is. I'm just going to dive right in if you guys are
go
cool.
For it.
My head's really spinning.
All,
all wheels are
go
going,
for
man.
It.
So, A, welcome for being a part of this. Thank you for being a part of this. We appreciate you being here, but like I thoroughly enjoy talking to newer agents who have been in the business not that long, but are really, really doing well. And you're one of those people. Like you're with a great group, you know, with Beth Brown. Sewell?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beth Brown Sewell. Sorry, Beth, I love you.
Don't worry, I'll get a text about it later.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I always tend to mess up names, but I feel terrible doing it. But the thought behind my initial question here is, you know, just with the fear of the unknown in real estate when you're getting started, how did you decide to get into this real quick before we take a step backwards and talk about you and your family?
Yeah.
How did you decide to get into this, and how was that leap for you, knowing that 8 out of 10 agents don't last in this industry?
Terrifying. I mean, absolutely terrifying, which probably not the most motivational thing to say, but it's honest. It was a weird time in my life, and we can go back kind of all to that, but I had the right people behind me, and I think that's the biggest thing, is you have to have a good support system to make that leap. Mm-hmm. At the time, I mean, kind of right when I got in, COVID was starting. I had basically a brand new baby. My husband was starting a new job. So it was like a very weird transitional period. We just got married. So everything was so new that I was like, you know what? One more new thing. Let's go. And it kind of just fell into place because I took the time to realize who I wanted to center myself around, and having those people became vital. And that having that support system, I think, is really kind of what set the trajectory for where it is today.
Sure. I asked that question because I'd like to go back to the family aspect. Now we really want to touch base on you and your, you know, kind of dive into your personal life a little bit, not too much. but I remember speaking with you, we were grabbing a cup of coffee, and you know, hearing your story, it was just like I could hear a pin drop just listening to you, because you have been through a lot of adversity, especially when you were trying to get started in real estate. And if you care to share, if you don't, I totally understand.
Absolutely.
You know, tell us about the family and
and
then the motivation and you know, the mountain that you pretty much had to get over.
Yeah. Definitely getting to real estate, getting married, all the things were kind of a weird time for me and my husband and later children. So I started taking my classes in 2019. Beth and I had gone way back, known each other for years. I grew up babysitting her daughter. We rode horses together. She'd been like, she kind of become a second mom. She was fabulous. Absolutely adore her.
She's a mom to a lot of people.
She is. She's just like, she's like that soul that you want to bring in, and you're like, all right, we got this. We can do this.
I'm comfortable. Yeah.
Yes. So she's like, you got this. You can do this. And I had gotten my master's in human resources. So I had an MBA specializing in HR at UC, had gone to work for a small in-home healthcare company. I loved them. It was a great environment. But I just, HR was like, I could feel in my soul, I was not that person. I'm not like a great, not like confrontational person, and like having those hard conversations was a little hard.
Sure.
Gotten a lot better at it though. But so she's been saying for a long time, do it, do it, do it. So I finally bought the classes when my husband and I found out I was pregnant. I was like, oh, I'll make the transition. Maybe I'll get them while I'm finish them up while I'm on maternity leave, do all the things. Well, the world said, haha, you're funny. And about 24 weeks of when I was around my 24 week of pregnancy, I'd gone in just for like my checkup. Everything up to that point had been fine. I had gone in and they were like, oh, you gained a little more weight than we'd like. You're looking a little puffy. It's a little early to be super concerned, but we should check some labs. So they sent me home with the laundry list of labs. I went and got those done as quickly as possible. And they are like, wait a week. We'll see you back in a week. And of course, the entire week, I'm like Googling, like, what could possibly be wrong? Yeah. Worst possible thing. Google is not your friend. Never use Google. Because yeah. Like you start coughing, you're like, I have cancer. No, you don't. I promise. So I went back. And before I could even sit down in the chair, they're like, you are going to Good Sam. You are not going home without a baby, were the first words out of the doctor's mouth. And I was like, what?
That's 25 weeks.
And at that point, I was right at 25 weeks. My gosh. I mean, I was 25 years old. So you're like, huh?
Yeah.
You're like, this is not how you expect your first experience to go. They didn't give us a ton of information because they wanted the doctors, they wanted the high risk to come in and talk to us. But they said, you have preeclampsia. It has progressed to severe features. You are going to Good Sam. Do not go home. Call your loved ones. My husband and I looked at each other and went, what? Backing up a little bit, the day before I had gone into work and actually quit my job. The company was being bought out, and I said, I'll stay till I have the baby. Well, I had the
see ya.
Had the baby the next couple of days, and they were fabulous about it. They said, we completely understand. My job was kind of transitioning to a corporate role, and it just wasn't what I was looking for anymore. They were absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. So I called my boss, and I was like, hey, not coming in today. I'm on the way to the hospital. She's like, I had a feeling. So that, again, fabulous people. So we get to the hospital, and I mean, it is a horde of people who are there. Like, you don't go to the ER when you have issues with pregnancy. You go up to like labor and delivery triage. So I get there, they take us back into this giant room, and there's like 85 people, and I'm already freaking out. So I sit down, and they're like, we need to take your blood pressure to see where you're at. It was like 200, 210 over like 180, like something. They're like, how are you physically standing upright right now? I'm like, I don't know what's happening. I had no idea. So they get me all hooked up. They kind of do all the things. They hook me up to, they tell us what's going to happen. They draw blood. Then I get a 48-hour magnesium drip to try and get my blood pressure down to a reasonable level. It was 24 hours, excuse me. And it was the most miserable 24 hours of my life. If anyone says magnesium, run. Like, just run. Really? So they did that, and then I was on a hypertensive protocol. So after that, I was back down to like kind of a normal level. So I maintained where I was supposed to be, and this was a Thursday. I made it through the weekend. Then the Sunday evening, they did an ultrasound just to kind of see how she was doing, what was going on. And they were like, oh, we're not getting the movement we want. So they take me back upstairs, and that's kind of was the beginning of the end. So they will keep me up in labor and delivery all night, hooked up to all the machines. My blood pressure is not going down. Again, probably I'm stressed out. I'm freaking out. I have no idea.
Naturally.
Yeah. And my OB this was like Monday morning. She said, we're going to give you some Tylenol. If your headache doesn't go away, we got to take her, because they were afraid I was starting to seize. And in fact, I was. My brain was swelling, all the things. So she came back in. She's like, did it work? And I said, no, I'm miserable. And my husband, I called my husband, I was like, you need to get back here. Because he's like, maybe I'll try to go into work. No, you're funny. poor guy. Slept on the couch. Like, it was miserable for him. He was amazing. So within 30 minutes, she was out. They told me this at 4. She was born at like 4:36. I was on the table out. She came out at 1 pound, 6 ounces. Mm. I like to say that I heard like a faint cry, but everyone's like, you were just hearing things. And then I was like, well, how long is she? They're like 12 inches. Like, yeah, they pulled a foot long out. Like, I'm high as a kite on all the anxiety medications and C-section stuff. And my husband's like, you are an absolute idiot. I'm like, I'm trying to make light of a really bad situation. So they ended up actually kind of putting me to sleep because I was not.
Just to
relax, because I was freaking out. I was like, you go with her. You go do what needs to be done. So I ended up, what they diagnosed me with was preeclampsia syndrome that turned into HELLP syndrome, which is basically when like your liver starts to fail. Yeah. So that was fun. And then after she was born, I went to get stabilized back in, because the only resolution to that is essentially delivering the baby. There's something with your placenta that's like funky or whatever it may be. And then, so yeah, I went to get stabilized. They wheeled me down at some point to see her, but I don't remember it so well. But all I remember is like this little thing with a hat on and this heart like shaped sticker and literally tubes coming out of her belly button. And that was it. That started our 106-day stay at Good Sam's NICU. I was there for about a week after, just trying to get my blood pressure back down, trying to get me normal, stabilized. I went home, I think, that following either Sunday or Monday. And I mean, it was uncomfortable to walk. My legs were like this big. Mm-hmm. I was so swollen, and it wasn't fun. So that the recovery took a while, and I actually was afraid to go see her for the first few weeks, which is something really hard to admit. But now that I'm kind of far removed from it, is a lot easier. I was so afraid to get close to her because I didn't want to lose her. I was like, if I distance myself, maybe if something really bad happens, mm-hmm. it'll be a little bit easier.
That's terrible. Right?
Which is a horrible way to think about your child, yeah. But like it was almost like a self-defense mechanism.
Sure. Yeah.
So we spent 106 days there, and I finished my classes while I was there, because when you're sitting and next to a box that you can't really do much with, you need something to do. Mm-hmm. So I finished up my classes, and she had a pretty relatively easy stay, which we are blessed and grateful for. And we had the most amazing group of people around us. Yeah. The nurses, the staff at Good Sam, and to this day, David and I are still very involved. We have kind of a parents group there now, and we will do just about anything that they need because they gave us our daughter. But she had a very relatively easy stay. She came home on oxygen. So I essentially became a stay-at-home parent. Real estate kind of got put on the back burner. Mm-hmm. It kind of just stayed there for a while. I had a year till I needed to take my
test. What year was this, 2020?
This was 2019.
2019.
Yeah, so right. So she was born in May. She came home in August.
That's right. Okay.
And then, so August, she came home in August. And then she was on oxygen at home for a while. She was just little. She came home at like 7 pounds, like normal size baby. She was little, still is little. Her 3-year-old brother is bigger than she is, which he likes to tell her all the time. And then they fight, and it's great. So, yeah, we did the OT, we did the PT, and I think that's kind of the misnomer about the NICU is people think that, like, once you're out, you're out. You're not. I mean, those people are still our friends to this day, and we were in therapies for a couple years, but I'm happy to say she will be starting kindergarten in the fall and is the spiciest child I have ever met.
That's awesome.
In my life. So, yeah, that was...
God is good.
God is good. I can't complain, but she's that's a good awesome. Kid.
Rolling that into real estate then.
Yeah.
So like you're taking these classes, you're trying to get licensed, this huge life event happens. And now like, what was your mentality when the time finally came to take your test and get into it? Like, was it like, do I really want to do this or am I ready to do this? Or what were you thinking?
It was a little bit of a push from my husband. He's like, you need to do this. Like you are not someone to sit at home and just do nothing. Not that a stay-at-home parent ever does nothing. A stay-at-home parent is the most noble job that you can have.
For sure.
But I know me personally, I'd go nuts. Like I need to do something. So my mentality was I'm ready, because we had so much happen that I was ready to do something for myself. Kind of backing up again a little bit is as we move into 2020, we had started to kind of look for answers on things as to why this had happened, because we wanted more children. And obviously we didn't want to have another one at 26 weeks. So I ended up getting diagnosed with something called Cushing's disease, which is where you have a tumor somewhere in your body that produces too much cortisol, which they are thinking is what led to my preeclampsia, because my body was already so under so much stress that then the added stress hormone, my body was like, excuse me, what is happening?
Couldn't do it.
So it's a little bit of a funny transaction. Beth actually helped us sell our house, which is like right down the road. And we bought our house on the west side to move closer to family on a Friday. I had surgery. They found out that the tumor was in my head. They had it on my pituitary gland. So they went in to remove that. That was on a Monday. The world shut down on that 13th on that day. So they're like, we're sending you home today. We're sending you home a day early because we're afraid if we don't, you'll get stuck here, which would have been very true. So that happened. That was March. And then come end of April, I find out I am pregnant with my son, which I was not supposed to do. They were like, you will not be able to have children for a while. Your hormones are all sorts of wonky. Like,
let me prove you wrong.
I was like, bet, watch this.
Yeah.
So, so that all happened, and the recovery time from that was a little wild. And then I get pregnant with Jackson, and that was a whole other disaster. I had like hyperemesis, so where you're constantly getting sick. So that was a lot of fun. But that was right around the time that I was taking the test. It was like end of April, beginning of May.
Because you basically had to, though. Right?
I had to. I was like, this is my deadline is. But I had tried to take it earlier, but with everything being shut down, I couldn't find a testing center to go. So I ended up Dayton, like Vandalia had one open. I was like, all right, let's go. So I took it, passed it, and officially became licensed in about May of 2020.
Wow.
It's a journey, man.
Yeah, it was.
That is a journey.
It was weird to get there. It was like up and down, but we did it. We made it.
Wow. So transitioning to the business, then, like, how was that first year?
Rough. I actually didn't really sell anything the first year.
Really?
To be completely honest, I was so focused on Caroline and maintaining through another pregnancy that was very wanted but very surprising.
Sure.
And just recovering from a surgery that, like, your hormones are so, so out of whack. Mm-hmm. And then you add pregnancy on top of that. My body was like, what did you just do to me?
Yeah.
So the first year was tough. But again, the team was great. The first year was a lot of learning and kind of sitting back and doing the showings, doing the weird things, doing the CEs. And again, that was COVID. You couldn't go out and do a whole lot. So it was just like a weird first year.
Mm-hmm.
There was no hands-on stuff. It was all kind of behind Zoom, and there's only so much you can learn behind a computer screen.
Right.
Especially in this business. I mean, it's a hands-on business. So the first year was hard. It was hard. And then Jackson was born December 31st, 2020. So I got my little New Year's Eve baby. I feel poor, worst birthday to have when you're a kid. Like, nothing's open. You can't do anything fun. But then the next year is kind of when everything really, 2021 was like my first really big producing year. Around 6 weeks, I kind of got back into everything, and it kind of just took off through referrals of friends and family and all the things, and having the right leadership behind me and the support, who I know, if I'm writing an offer at 11 p.m. and I'm like, what am I doing? I'd have somebody to answer my questions.
Yeah. Well, not just anybody. I mean, Beth's one of the best, so
100%.
I'm a firm believer, if you're going to get started in real estate, you need to jump on. I mean, it's just so hard to do on your own. And for anybody who does do it on their own, congratulations. That's great. But like, to have a mentor or somebody to help guide you through that process, especially the first 2 years, it's
you have to. I mean,
yeah, it's the do or die type of moment.
Right. And I think that's where a lot of agents, as you said, fail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they don't have the right support system behind them. You have to have some sort of mentor. Real estate school does not teach you how to be a realtor.
Right.
They teach you enough to get you in the door.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go and learn and shadow and follow and grow by sitting next to someone just hearing what they do before you can even write an offer. They don't teach you how to write an offer in school. They don't teach you how to stay within the legal limits. Right. So it's to have a mentor is the biggest thing. And to have a mentor that you, that cares so much about your success is even better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just like soaking it all in.
Sorry, it's a lot. No,
it is. I mean, and it's incredible what you've overcome and to, I think to persevere through all of that too. I mean, that's a lot to be going on in your personal life to still be pushing forward in your career too. So I really admire that.
Thank you. Yeah. And I will say my husband was a big driving force of that. For him not looking at me and having that hard conversation on that like random January day, like you got to do this. I also probably wouldn't be sitting where I am. Yeah. No word for that.
That's awesome. Good supportive husband.
Yeah.
Well, I think too, one thing, I mean, so you and I have met at the board and, yep, and on the YPN committee there. And so, you know, you're involved in the, you know, the local association as well. And I think that's, I mean, to be doing, to have everything else going on and starting a new business like you have and to be involved and like the leadership stuff, let's talk about that. Like the leadership academy.
That was exciting. Mm. That was something that I, to be completely honest, never saw myself doing or never saw myself in a light that I would be a good leader, which to the fact that even I set my one for the Cincinnati Realtor Alliance leadership on the last possible day. I was like, there's no way I'm gonna get this. There's not a chance. Like, no way. I sent it in and my husband was like, just do it. It'll be good for you. Like, mm-hmm, even if you don't get it, so what? Yeah. You tried. And I'm like, okay, you know what? You're right. The worst thing they'll say is no. And is that so bad? Mm-hmm. No, you learn and you move on. Mm-hmm. So I submitted it, went in for the in-person interview and actually cried. So that went well. cried during the interview and I walked out and I called Beth. I was like, I cried. There's no way. Not a chance. A couple weeks later, get the email, or I'm not sure if it was an email or call, but got the call saying, you're in. And I was like, oh, okay.
You should cry more often.
Apparently, yeah. I was like, does this work? Because like, I could use this. Really? Right? So yeah, and the program that Cincinnati has here is fabulous. They have done a wonderful job. It was a great self-exploration of who I am, not only as like an agent, but as a person, as who I want to be as a leader. So they really take you step by step through kind of what that looks like for you, mm-hmm, and how to work with other styles of people, which in this industry is huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, we deal with on average a day 20 different personalities. And knowing how to interact to be the most effective is 100% worth it. That academy was great. And I've made some great friends along the way. People that I never would have met had I not done it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some of those people we're still in contact with each other. And I know one of the girls who went through the academy was like, I'm going to join committees now because of like the connection that I see with all of you, which was the best thing that I could have heard.
Yeah.
Right. So it was really good. So Cincinnati's was great. I had a really great experience. And then I ended up talking to a few agents who had done the Ohio Leadership Academy, just as like, what is it? Is it worth doing since I've done this one? And they were like, 100% do it. And I was like, okay. So I actually ended up submitting like the day it opened. I was like, I'm going to be on this. Like, I'm not going to miss this opportunity. So I submitted it. And we had to have a couple references. So I asked for the references and went through it and found out in December that, which was a very long waiting period, because I put this in like April or May, like some ridiculous time frame.
That's crazy. I would have forgotten about it by then.
I know. I was like, I kind of look back. I'm like, when was I supposed to hear about that? So around December, they're like, we're going to have interviews January so-and-so. Here's your time slot. And I was like, great. So I drive up to OR, which is in Columbus,
mm-hmm,
drive up to Columbus for it. And it's like a group of people sitting at a table, do my interview with the committee. Went fine. I was like, they asked odd questions. And one of them was like, what's your favorite podcast? And sorry, I didn't say this one.
Oh, man.
I know. I should have.
All right. That was a great interview.
Yeah. And she's done. Well, and I just blurred out without even thinking. I go, small town dicks. And they were like, I was like, oh, my. What did I just say? And I was like, no, it's about police work. And they're like, oh, because it's like a euphemism for a cop,
yeah,
which I didn't know until I started listening to it. And I was like, it's because of the perspective that they tell it. They bring in the police officer, the lawyer, whomever was on the case in to tell the story. So it's a firsthand
like an analysis of it.
Yeah, firsthand reiteration of what happened, which was great. And I could just see the horror on their face. I walk out of there and I go, well, there goes that one. Can check that one off the box. So I'm driving back to Cincinnati. I called my husband. I was like, yeah, no, not a chance. Before I get home, I get the call, hey, you made it. And I was like, really? Like, are you punking me? And he's like, yep, we'll give you a call later with all the information. And we had our first session last weekend, and it's the most amazing group of people I've ever met. Wow. It's been really cool. I mean, I'll update you on the progress, but the first one was just kind of team bonding and learning who you are and having to do some very uncomfortable things. Public speaking will be fun. So shout out if anybody wants to watch me pass out on stage, come to the OR conference, because I might. So, but so far it's been great. I think I've grown a lot in the last year and just in who I am and who I want to be.
Yeah. What do you think your biggest takeaway was from the local one, the RAGC leadership?
I think it's how important it is to get involved. Because honestly, I had no idea what our PAC stood for, what the board even did until I got in those doors. And I know we've had kind of a weird year. And I think it's important to have a voice and have a say and get involved and do the things if you really want to make a difference. And that, if that taught me anything, it's good to go make the connections. I mean, I never would have met you if it weren't for YPN. Right. And you've become a great asset. So it's, I mean, I recommend you to all the time to people. So it's just, it's getting involved in your local association in any way, shape, or form that is passionate to you. If that's RPAC, if that's community outreach, if it, whatever it is, but you meet so many more people that way that it's just, it opens up the...
It's a no-brainer for networking.
Exactly.
For sure. But I also think it gives perspective for people who don't do a lot and kind of like, stop talking, you know, like for the people who don't volunteer, who don't get into those leadership positions, who don't understand, you know, the time commitment they're doing to help everyone grow, you know, it's like, don't say anything bad about those people because they're working their tail off too. Like there was an obvious issue with the MLS last year. It was to nobody's fault, you know, and like they worked their butts off to get it fixed, you know, and it is what it is. So don't attack them personally, you know, and like that perspective that, you know, people who volunteer for things is probably real then, you know, like, and anybody else who doesn't, it's like, dude, get it together. Let's go. Let's get this done. You know, it's
exactly.
Not always that easy.
And I think another thing that I've learned really big in real estate, and this would probably be my advice to anyone who wants to get into the business, is not everyone is for everyone. Not everyone's going to like you. I am a huge people pleaser, and that was a hard hump to get over.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You move on, you wipe off the bad reaction or bad interaction, and you keep going. It's how you come out of the situation that defines you are and how you react to it, not getting stuck in it. So I think that was kind of another big thing over the last year that with everything that's gone on through watching it from the Leadership Academy side of things. But yeah, I mean, the board, everyone there was no right answer. It was hard. There was no right answer. And they did the best they could with what they had. And I'm a firm believer of that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'd love to ask for some advice from you for new agents and buyers and sellers. But real quickly, before we do, we always like to thank Back to Back Ministries for letting us use this awesome podcast studio that we're in. So Back to Back Ministries is a global nonprofit orphan care organization with their sights set on providing care for today and hope for every tomorrow. From Cincinnati, Ohio to Hyderabad, India, staff teams around the world are stepping into hard stories and choosing to stay. To learn more about the work Back to Back does, how you can get involved, and why a global team won't stop until every child is known and loved, you can visit backtoback.org today.
Check them out.
Absolutely.
I've almost memorized that entire thing.
I know. I still read it, but
like, I was lip syncing.
I could see it. You guys have a great setup here, though. This is awesome.
Yeah, we're very grateful for them letting us use it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But with that done, what kind of advice? Let's start with new agents, because you're a relatively new agent. So this is all fresh for you.
It is fresh. And I will say, learn from me. I say some of the biggest advice, as we've talked about, is aligning yourself with a mentor who is genuinely concerned about how you succeed. I mean, they want to be there to support you, to see your wins, to celebrate those things. And I mean, if it weren't for Beth, I wouldn't be where I am. I mean, she's been integral in getting me up and going and getting to the point where I only call her if something's really wrong. She knows if I'm calling, she's like, oh, I got to answer that. But I mean, and get involved. That's the biggest thing that I wish I had done sooner. If I could go back and do anything, it would be get involved in your community, your local board, at the association, at whatever level you feel comfortable with. But that just opens up so many more opportunities for you than you think you even realize. Because I know in the beginning I was like, networking events. Why do I need to go network with people? And it really does make a difference. Those two points are find a great group of people to align yourself with and get involved. Those are definitely two of the biggest things for new agents that I would say. And do your CEs. Don't forget until the last moment.
Speaking from experience there, I can tell.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. No, I agree completely. So what about for buyers and sellers? This market has been, I mean, you've experienced it.
Yes.
Just in the few short years that you've been active, it has been a roller coaster. Yeah,
it has. It's crazy. It was like you get the highest of highs and then you have like the lowest of lows down here, right?
Yep.
So it's been, I mean, it's a weird market, but Cincinnati is such a cool place. It's unique in the fact that we have a little bit of something kind of for everyone here. And I feel for either whether you're buying or selling, you have to do it when you are ready. If you're not motivated and ready to buy, it's going to be a miserable experience for you because you're just going to feel like you're dragging yourself around to these things. When we as realtors say, when someone asks us the question, it's funny, a friend asked me this the other day. They're like, well, when's the best time to buy and sell? I'm like, well, there's the statistical data that tells us when. But I said, it's honestly when you are ready. Because if you are not ready, it's not going to be fun for you. And that's what I would love. I mean, that's what I tell my clients. I'm like, if you're truthfully not ready to buy something, this is a big decision. Like,
right.
This is not just like going down to the grocery and picking up like, which milk do I want? This is a big financial decision. And that's the other piece of it too, is you want to make sure that you're with a group of people between your realtor, your lender, your inspector, whomever you're using that you genuinely trust and you genuinely get along with. Because these people are going to become your best friends from anywhere to 30 days to however long it takes to find a house.
Right.
And you want to make sure that you respect and trust and feel that their opinion is valued, or otherwise it's going to just be a miserable experience. And that is the last thing we want. We want to make sure that you one, find the right house, two, feel valued and heard through the process and enjoy it. I mean, buying a house is fun. It's scary. It is. I've been a first-time home buyer and it's scary, but that's the joy of having someone who's been through it and done it and understands it. And that's why we're here, is to help you along the process so you can ask the questions that you're uncomfortable with and realize that it's going to be okay. Yeah. You're going to make the right decision. You'll know when. They always do.
That's awesome. Okay, anything else, Patrick?
No, just really appreciate you and your story and your perseverance. It's definitely motivating. So for anybody who's listening, for sure, you know, it could get harder.
It could
be harder. So think about that when you're upset or you don't want to pick up the phone and dial that phone number, you know, just keep plugging away. So
it's worth it. Trust me. But thank you guys for having me. Yeah, this was awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for your vulnerability and sharing everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm an open book. You can go read a funny, if you want to, side plug, a funny like blog that I did while I was like, once we got out of the NICU. It is very sarcastic.
Okay.
And I haven't updated it in years, but I remembered it the other day. But if you want a good laugh, it's on my Facebook page. Go look at it.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
Big shout out to Beth Brown Sewell as well.
She's wonderful.
She's one of my favorite people. You know, she's a big advocate for our program too, and a wonderful supporter. So you guys just have a great group of people together.
It's been fun.
Doing great things.
We're learning along the way, but it's been fun.
There you go.
Well, that is
thank
awesome.
You. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for coming on. We enjoyed our conversation, and we wish you the best. Looking forward to hearing how that Leadership Academy goes this year.
If I don't pass out, you'll know it went well.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Cincinnati Real Producers Podcast, powered by Next Door Photos. We do this every week, so be sure to subscribe so you can follow along. If you liked our conversation, leave us a review. We'd love to hear your thoughts.